Before I turn to the verse that I would like to read tonight to preface our remarks in the gospel, I would like to just mention one thing. When we were up at the prayer meeting here a few moments ago, I believe a brother had mentioned that we need to be on guard about being a hindrance to the gospel. And you know, it's solemn to think that whether saved or lost, we can be a hindrance to the good seed of the Word of God. And so I would ask tonight that, dear friend, that you would open up your heart, that you would open up your ears, that if there be any barriers or walls that you've put up between your soul and God, that you would listen. Because the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what a solemn thing to think, dear brethren, that there might be someone in this row tonight who might not be saved, and we can be a distraction to that person. Young people, speak to your hearts tonight. Don't be a distraction. The enemy can use you to pluck the good word, the seed that may be planted tonight. You know, the enemy is so subtle and so ruthless, and he can use each and every one of us, if he so choose, to be a hindrance to the Word of God. And so I would plead with you tonight that you would open up your ears, not to necessarily what I have to say, but what God has to say, because that, after all, is what really matters. Is what the Word of God has to say about man and his lost condition. And so, you know, the Bible says of Satan, this enemy that you and I have, this enemy of our souls, it says that he is a liar, that he is a murderer from the beginning, and that he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And so, dear friend, tonight, open up your heart to the Lord Jesus. We would plead with you tonight, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. I say, is there a barrier between your heart and God? Let it down. Because God desires your eternal blessing. And Satan would rather see your eternal destruction. He hates you and has no use for you. He would seek to make your life a misery, and he does not want your blessing. But oh, what a message we have tonight in the gospel, where we have a Savior, as we've been singing, that's on high in the glory, who is willing to save now as ever. This Lord Jesus, our loving Savior, loves you more than you could ever know. God loves you more than you could ever fathom. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a message. What a message. Let's turn, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. What a message tonight that we have in the gospel, that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, God who is blessed forever, would stoop and take a stoop of grace so low that He would leave heaven's height, that He would pass angels in the meantime, that He would take a place amongst man, as we will read later on. That He would walk amongst His own creatures, displaying the heart and the love of God to this lost and groaning creation. For the whole world groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Isn't it so? You look outside today and there is nothing but death, destruction, disease, violence, hatred, mourning, weeping. It's a sad state of affairs outside of this building tonight. But God has salvation. God has provided a way of escape. God has provided a remedy in the Son of God, His beloved Son. He was received up into glory. The Lord Jesus came into this world. For what cause? For what reason? The cause was love. The cause was love. You know, man is a sinner. This is why men stand in the pulpits this evening. This is why we preach the gospel of the grace of God. The glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. This is why we preach the good news of salvation. Because there is a need out there, and God has seen that need. And in His compassion, and in His mercy, and His love, and His great grace, He would see man in his ruined state and say, I need to provide a remedy. So I'm going to come, and I'm going to visit man. I'm going to die for him so that they might escape my wrath. Oh, man is a sinner. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, the Bible says. Job says that, behold, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy are men which drink iniquity like water? No, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, and the way of peace they have not known. Destruction and misery are in their ways. There is no fear of God in their eyes. Is that not quite a graphic description of the heart of man? You know what the Lord Jesus said of the heart of man? He said that therefore out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the man. So if you're in your seat tonight, dear sinner friend, know this for sure, that God has declared that each and every one of us in our natural condition are ruined sinners. That we have no hope. That we are without God in this world. That we walk according to the course of this world. According to the course of the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He says, as we read this morning, that you are dead in trespasses and in sins. Isn't it so? And you know, the beautiful part of the gospel is that it takes man down to the same level. The same level. You know, there are men in this world who seek to puff themselves up, who, because of the measure of success that they've experienced in life, feel as though they are one step above, perhaps a cut above, the average Joe. No, God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all equally bankrupt before God. All you have to do is go back to the start of this book that we hold in our hands tonight. And there man in his disobedience disobeyed God, and man brought in sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, dear friend, tonight, don't you feel, in light of all that, pretty small? In light of all that, pretty hopeless. But what a message that we have tonight in the gospel. That there is hope, that there is life, that God offers you joy and peace, and He offers His love to you tonight if you will only have Him. If you will only have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Lord Jesus said that, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Are you going to hear it tonight? Open up your ears and hear the good news that God has for you. You know, out in this world tonight, we can pick up a newspaper, and it's probably the majority of the content that's found in that newspaper is somewhat negative. Usually there's not much good news in this world. If you turn on the radio, the music of this world is filled with rebellion, mourning, a broken heart. It's not a very happy place, is it? Really, if we're honest with ourselves, this world really isn't a happy place. But Satan would seek to dupe men to think that this is where they belong. He would seek to occupy your heart with the pleasures of sin, which only last for a season. But then after that, you're left groping, left with nothing, looking for the next best fix. Haven't you experienced that? That this world cannot offer you anything but nothing at all? How solemn. This world is a wilderness. Have you found that the water of this world just cannot quench your thirsty soul? Have you found that you've been left empty? Have you been left with a broken heart? I point you to the Lord Jesus tonight, this man who loves you and gave himself for you, this man who went to Calvary's cross, who laid down his life as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Oh, what a Savior is Jesus the Lord. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. The gospel of God. Here was a man, the Apostle Paul, separated unto the gospel of God. And you know, we hear this word, gospel. But what does it really mean? And I alluded to it earlier, the gospel means glad tidings. It means good news. God has good news in spite of all the bad news in this world. In spite of all the wickedness of man, God has provided a remedy to save him, to draw him out from his lost condition. The gospel of the grace of God. Oh, what a message we have tonight.
But you know, it's not only a message of good news, but it is a solemn message. It is a message of urgency tonight, because tonight God calleth all, every man, everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised him from the dead. It is a solemn message. And dear friend, tonight, if you're in your seat, lost, if you know not this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides upon you. And so I say it brings urgency to the message of the gospel, that you would not put it off, that you would not harden your hearts, that you would hear the word of God, that you would invite the Lord Jesus Christ in as He's knocking at your heart's door tonight. And if you're in your seat tonight and you're the only one who is not saved here tonight, God looks down into this room, and this meeting is especially for you, because He is giving you one last opportunity. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God only gives you now because, dear friend, you know not when you will take your last breath. You may draw your last breath in your seat tonight, and then it'll be all over for you. Then you will be cast into a lost eternity where there is no hope, where there is no love. How solemn. Where the devil and his angels, his fallen demons, are going to spend the rest of eternity. God has prepared that place for him, but how solemn it is that human beings will be cast into hell, into the lake of fire, into the blackness of darkness forever, where the worm dieth not. Oh, how solemn. And so, dear friend, tonight the Lord Jesus is calling to you. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you looking for rest in your soul tonight? May I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He is the only one that can satisfy your heart. I enjoyed what one said one time, that when God made your heart, He made it so big that this world cannot fill it. And so God sent an object into this world which was so large that your heart cannot take it all in. And that is Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior? If you don't, dear friend, tonight, don't wait until you leave this room tonight. Do not wait. Invite Him into your heart now. Ask Him to come in. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. And He'll save you. It's another beautiful part of the gospel, is that it's not complicated. He's calling out to you tonight, dear friend. Don't put it off. The Bible says that if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Are you neglecting to come tonight? Do not neglect. Do not put it off. Because there's wrath that lies at the door tonight. The gospel of God, the good news, which He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. How beautiful that God could go back and He could see man in his ruined condition. And you go back into the Word of God. And there in Genesis chapter 3, we have the first promise that the seed of the woman would crush Satan's head. And in turn, he would crush the seeds heal. And that happened at the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ gained the victory at the cross. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. This blessed Savior. And from Genesis 3 all the way to the end of the Bible, we have a promise in the Old Testament of a coming Messiah to redeem His people. And in the New Testament and in the Gospels, we have the life of the Lord Jesus and the Gospel brought to a further light to encompass whosoever will. Whosoever will. You know, the Gospel, God is no respecter of persons. The Gospel goes out to the best of man, and it goes out to the worst. It goes out to the rich. It goes out to the poor. It goes out to you. The Word of God does not prejudice anybody. The Word of God is to whosoever will. Whosoever will may come. And so, dear friend, God is calling you tonight that you would come. Come while there's time. Come while He gives you breath to do so. This one who holds your breath in His very hands. Job says that who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. He holds your breath. He gives unto us life and breath and all things. And so it's amazing that man can go off in independence of God tonight without referencing God. And so I suppose that's why the Scripture says that the plowing of the wicked is sin. Even just the plowing of the wicked is sin, because he does it without reference to God. He cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so again, I say, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God tonight. And it is our desire that you would exercise faith towards God, repentance towards God, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Dear friend, come. Come while there's time. And the Gospel concerns His Son, Jesus Christ. It does not concern me, it does not concern you, but it concerns the Son of God. Although you should be concerned about the Gospel message. The Gospel message should concern you tonight, but the Gospel of the grace of God concerns His Son, Jesus Christ. Not a system, not a religion, but a person. A man who loves you and gave himself for you. The Lord Jesus Christ. And this person was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Yes, the Lord Jesus left His throne of glory. And He came into this world because God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every thought of the imagination of his heart was only evil continually. Man needed a Savior. No man by any means can redeem his brother, let alone himself. He cannot extricate himself from his lost condition. And so the Lord Jesus Christ answered that call in eternity past when God raised the question, who shall go for us? And He said, here am I, send me. You question if God loves you. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. God loved this world so much that He would give up the Son of His love. And the Lord Jesus loves you so much that He would descend from heaven's height, lay aside His form of God, and take His place amongst men, sin apart. This one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. The perfect Lamb of God. The sinless person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture reminds us that you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. It says of Him who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself unto Him that judgeth righteously. God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Turn in connection with that thought to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew's Gospel chapter 1. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The Lord Jesus came into this world just like you and I come into this world as a little baby. Think of it. God who inhabits eternity. I believe it was Solomon who said that the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. And yet, God the Son would come into this world and come into a manger to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. What an incredible thing that God would become a man. God was manifest in the flesh. He came into this world as a little baby. And you know, if you were to turn to Luke's Gospel, we would read that there was no room for them in the inn. No, this world had no room for the Lord Jesus Christ when He came into this world. And they have no room for Him today. Nothing has changed. And so the heart of man is just as bad as it was, as it ever was. What grace. What great grace. And what a great salvation we preach tonight. Of a great Savior who accomplished a great redemption. He came into this world. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Oh, the Son of God came so low. I say He passed angels. We see Jesus, the Bible says, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. What a stoop of grace that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for everything. What a stoop of grace. For verily He took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. The Lord Jesus was made in the likeness of men. But again I say, he was sinless. You and I have a nature, an evil principle of sin within each and every one of us that loves to sin. It craves sin. But here was a person, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, sin apart. The Lord Jesus said that the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. No, Satan could not find one thing in the Lord Jesus whereby he might tempt him to sin. And you know, there are those out there tonight who are in the pulpits who preach the Lord Jesus Christ that he could have sinned. And if that's the case, then we don't have a Savior tonight. No, that's not what the Word of God says. Again, I say the Lord Jesus Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He walked this world sin apart. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And so he was the only one in God's counsels. He was the only one who could satisfy a holy God as to the question of sin and sins. He was the only one that could pull you and I out of the ditch. He was the only one that could redeem our souls because he was sinless. And for the very first time there at Calvary's cross, the sacrifice consumed the judgment. And he could cry out of the darkness, it is finished. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This blessed man would come, lay aside his Godhead form, so to speak, and walk amongst men. And he would walk amongst man to show forth the heart of God. And in doing so, he dispensed blessing on every hand. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He cleansed the leper. And man loved him for what they got. But as soon as the Lord Jesus exposed to man what really lie within his heart, for the Bible says that this is that true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light. He is the light. He exposes man for who he really is. And as when the Lord Jesus did that in his earthly ministry, man sought to kill the Son of God because they liked their sins. But what solemn is the Lord Jesus said that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I say again, there is judgment. And the Lord Jesus came out of love for your never dying soul to make a way of escape for you tonight, that you might come from darkness into light and from the power of Satan to God, that you would no longer be holden with the cords of your sins and bound with your own iniquities. Dear friend, tonight, do you know that your sins are holding you captive? They're holding you captive. Why don't you come to the Lord Jesus that he might untie those cords of sin, that he might set you free? And then you will know a love and a peace that you've never known before. You'll know joy like you've never known it before. I promise you this. You talk to anybody who is a Christian in this world walking with the Lord, and they would never, ever take what this world could offer them. You know, the Bible says, ask this question, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you had everything that this world could give you tonight, and you were to die, what would it profit you? No, our life is even as a vapor which appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Life is like that. I suppose if you were to talk to some of the older ones in this room, they would say, I don't know where the time has gone. In my short life, I'd like to consider that I'm a young man, and I look back over my 26 years and I just really wonder, where has the time gone? No, this world has nothing to offer you. And life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf be in time. Time is gliding swiftly by. Death and judgment both draw nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly be in time. Dear friend, tonight, flee to the Savior while you have a chance. And I say you will experience a life that is satisfying. Now, I'm not saying tonight that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be a rosy bed of flowers all the time. No, to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ sometimes entails a little bit of hardship, some persecution. But dear friend, I tell you, through it all, it's worth every moment. It's worth it all because you will know a peace that you've never known before and a joy that you've never experienced. And you will be on your way to heaven. You will be on your way to the Father's house where there's a life of bliss and blessing awaiting you if you'll only have the Lord Jesus tonight. This blessed man, the Son of God, he would walk amongst his own creature. And again, I say he would dispense blessing on every hand. And at the end of his 33 years, man said, away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him was their condemnation towards this blessed Savior. They chose Barabbas. When offered Barabbas or Jesus, Pilate asked the question, what will ye then that I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And the world says, crucify him. We will not have this man. It's because the Lord Jesus exposed man for who he really is, as a sinner. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He went to Calvary's cross, and they took those arms. They stretched forth those arms that comforted the mourning. They took those hands which touched the eyes of the blind to give sight, which blessed the multitudes, and they would drive nails through those blessed hands. They would take his feet, those feet that would trod the miles and miles and miles to go visit and dispense blessing upon this lost creation, upon man. And they would nail it to a Roman cross. They would take his back. The Lord Jesus said, I gave my back to the smiters, and to those that plucked, to my cheeks, to those who plucked off the hair. They tied him to a whipping post. And they would whip the Son of God and plow upon his back. This blessed Savior. Oh, they would take a crown of thorns and press it into his blessed brow. A brow which should have been reserved for earth's highest honors. A crown of thorns they awarded the Son of God. That's what this world thought of the love of God. That was the world's estimation of Jesus of Nazareth. And they would nail him to a Roman cross. And there suspend the Son of God between heaven and earth. And you know, God would blanket this scene in darkness. And as bad as all the torture that man could heap upon this blessed Savior, God would cover this world in darkness. He would blanket the scene in darkness, shut out the sun, and take up with his son with the question of sin. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. God would pour upon the Lord Jesus all his wrath because there needed to be a way made so that you and I might have life. The Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, there at Calvary, was made sin. The sinless Son of God bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The Lord Jesus laid down his life for sinners. He laid down his life for you. You as an individual, and dear children tonight, you cannot get saved through your parents. The older one, younger one, whoever. You need to come as an individual to the cross and lay down your life at the foot of the cross and take sides against yourself with God. Because God has told us that there is none that doeth good. All have sinned. You need to repent and come to the Lord Jesus tonight. Will you have him? Are you seeking the Lord Jesus? He's seeking you tonight. There at the end of those 3 hours of darkness, the Son of God would cry out, "It is finished." They would take him down, put him in a grave. And on the third day, the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We preach a crucified Christ, but this Christ crucified is a risen Christ tonight. He sits at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. God raised his beloved Son and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. What a wonderful thing it is that Jesus lives tonight. Jesus lives. And eternity is a reality, dear friend, tonight. You are going to spend your life, the rest of your never-dying life, in one of two conditions, in heaven or in hell. What will you choose tonight? Enter ye in. Are you going in to the broad road that leads to destruction? Are you going to choose the straight gate, the narrow path which leads to life? Choose the path to life, and that path is through the Lord Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the Lord Jesus said. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for truth, if you're looking for life tonight, if you're looking for the way, it's found in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. You know what's solemn? Is that there is coming a day when the Word of God will go forth no more. No, the Bible says that they will run to and fro throughout the whole earth and shall not find it. What a solemn thing it is tonight to think that when the Lord Jesus, he said he is coming back, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are saved, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord Jesus said that he is coming back to this world to take his own out. And perhaps that might be before the end of this meeting. This world will not see him then. And what a solemn thing it is that you might be left in your seat tonight, lost. The Son of God, as this room vacates, and there you sit, alone. And you will know what happened. How solemn. Dear friend, make the decision for Christ now. The Lord Jesus loves you. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to be saved right now because he does not want to judge your soul. But he will have to, because he is a holy God, because he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God does not give you a second chance. If he comes and you're left here in your sins, you will have not a second chance. You will be outside the door when the master of the house will rise up and shut to the door. And you will be without that door knocking, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he will say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Oh, dear friend, make the decision before that happens, before it is too late. The next time this world sees the Son of God, he will come back again. But this time with his saints in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon all them that know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming in flaming fire. He is coming to judge this world. And next time this world sees the Son of God, it will not be on a criminal's cross. It will not be in all the shame and humility. And it will not be in a way in which they dishonored him. But he will be coming with the sword of judgment, in flaming fire, with a crown of glory on his head. God's beloved Son is coming back to judge this world. This world is reserved for judgment. Dear friend, tonight, flee to the Savior. Before we close, I want to read one verse. Job chapter 36. Job chapter 36 and verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware. Dear friend, tonight the gospel is good news, as I mentioned earlier. But it is a message of warning. God is giving you a chance to flee from this wrath. God has said that you are the children of wrath, even as others, if you know not the Savior, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ. Beware, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. How solemn. But then again I say, the Lord Jesus is saying, "Come unto me. Whosoever will may come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever thirsts, let him take of the water of life freely." The gospel is free tonight. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and drink, and he that hath no money. Come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The gospel is free, but it was not cheap. It cost God his only Son. And God is offering you salvation tonight. He is offering a way of escape. Will you have the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your own and be on your way to heaven? Dear friend, it's a solemn thing. God is giving you now. Let's just pray.